Good morning. Today is Thursday, February the 9th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County District Attorney Maggie Fleming.
Good morning, Brian.
How are you?
Great. How are you doing? We have power at our house, so we're doing great.
We've got issues on Neyland.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I heard.
Okay. So you're up to speed.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Our quote this morning comes from Mark Twain. A lie can travel halfway around the world when the truth is just putting on its shoes.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I would imagine that that's part of the challenge for your department is not managing the truth, but separating the truth. You know, the president is talking, I guess now the cool phrase or the new is false news or fake news. Well, I think when we were growing up, we were called lies, but that, set that one aside. How do you not manage the media, but try to ensure that the truth is what's out there rather than hearsay, innuendo, or, you know, people trying to use part truth to their benefit?
It's, you know, it's a really good question, because part of what I've seen happen more and more is that sort of there's that initial information that's out there, you know, when there's a case or an investigation or someone's brought in custody. And then a lot of people who maybe are not actually aware of the facts then sort of weigh in. And sometimes it's their impressions or what they've heard or rumors. And we have to really...
Oh, that DA's office again.
Well, I mean, in particular to any criminal case, you know, people, you know, you have a murder scene, people start talking and they think that they're familiar with the facts. And we really have to confine our case to what we know, you know, we can prove, what we have with evidence. And so at the same time.
But that's in the courtroom.
Yes. Yes.
I'm talking about outside the courtroom.
Oh, right. And that's, you know, that's not something we can really change. It's, you know, it's people's views of what's taking place, whether or not it's actually happening.
Do you try to manage that?
I think, you know, one way it comes up is I do a lot of public events. I speak at Rotary. I do things. And so a lot of times people are, those are questions they ask. And then I can say, well, this is what occurred, or here's how this unfolded, or those sorts of things. So you try to address it, but it's hard to try to address it, you know, with press releases or anything like that, because really we're limited by what we're allowed to talk about. And that's, I kind of think we do that in the courtroom. You know, I try to do press releases when someone who maybe the case made the news is sentenced, or if we go to trial on a case and I think maybe people want to know what was the outcome of that. But it's, you know, it's a difficult process.
Do you get the same amount of, I'll say media, not social media, media coverage today that you used to? Do you have the relationships with the reporters that used to be so you can talk, not off record, but you can communicate with them so that the reporting portion is more accurate?
We can.
Or as accurate as it can be.
Yeah, we can certainly try to do that, yes.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. So you've got this new reality that's there. You've got the standards that the Constitution has for prosecuting and the legal processes, so to speak, do you just kind of ignore?
I think you have to. So part of our, we have, there's a constitution, but there's also sort of the code of ethics for attorneys. The bar sets up some very strict guidelines, and we are limited to sort of those details, those facts. And so, for example, you know, I cannot and we cannot in my office charge someone unless we have sufficient admissible evidence that we can prove it beyond a reasonable doubt to 12 jurors. That's the standard. So frequently we are looking at cases or we're part of an investigation where at the end we say, there's not enough here. We can't charge that person. I really shouldn't be discussing, you know, that investigation. I shouldn't be going through those details because the idea is if I don't have enough to charge someone, it stops. And every now and then I'll have people who'll contact me and say, you know, could you comment on this? Could you talk about this? And I say, well, you know, it's really inappropriate for me to comment on an ongoing investigation, but I can tell you this. If at the end I file charges, you know, I'll let you know. But otherwise, no, I can't really be commenting on that. So it's a fine line. I mean, I know that for a lot of times people are hoping we can provide information. Now, the difference is when law enforcement is involved, you know, in an ongoing investigation where, say, there's been a shooting, so they can put out information because they're trying to get people to come forward. So they're sort of giving that information. That's a little bit different situation than I'm in. So this is sort of a distinction that we have to really always understand and adhere to.
You would never, I can use a fancy word, quash a police department or a fire department or any quasi-legal entity from doing their press releases. It's just that you're not able to comment until you choose to legally pursue or choose not to.
Exactly. So, but there have been times when we've discussed how much information, because part of the ongoing investigation is sometimes understanding this might be a critical piece of information that if we don't publicize it, someone who comes forward and knows about it would be considered a credible source. So there is sometimes those discussions where you say, well,
Father Fried was, his situation was that way.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it's as simple as the caliber of the weapon, things like that, that, you know, when we're involved, we're writing search, we're assisting writing search warrants or reviewing search warrants, that sort of thing. Sometimes those issues will come up. So just from the point of view of, no, I don't quash, but it sometimes I'm asked for my input and I'll say, well, wait a minute. Is this really necessary for us to be saying right now? Because maybe we're going to be trying to use this later to make a determination about information being provided.
Fine line? Wide line?
I think it's a fine line. I think, you know, it's always, there's that issue of the public's right to know, the public's, you know, concern and desire to know, and then also the issue of transparency. You know, sometimes when we don't file charges, people say, well, can you explain why? And I can sometimes give it in generalities.
Didn't have enough evidence?
Yeah. But you know, they'll say, well, what about this? I heard this. And I'll say, well, and again, this sort of goes back to that other issue. Sometimes people say, well, I read it. And it's like, well, what was the source of the information you were reading? Because if it's someone who is, you know, anonymously commenting on an investigation who says, oh, I heard, that's not admissible evidence. And that puts us back into that place of, you know, we're not allowed to sit in a courtroom based upon rumors and innuendo. We have to have facts. We have to have evidence. We have to have witnesses who will actually come forward and swear to tell the truth and then offer that information under oath. But without that, you know, we can't proceed. And by that same token, I shouldn't be saying, ah, heck, if we only had a little bit more, we could have prosecuted, because that's inappropriate. You know, we're not supposed to do that to people.
Kind of sounds like trolling more than, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Do people get it?
I think the majority do. I think you're always going to have people who question the why nots and say, well, I read. You know, the people who believe that they have more information, and even when you try to explain, well, that's not admissible, they go back to, but you know of it, you know, it's there, and it's still that issue. You know, we have to have.
That's the gut twist, I would think, for you and your staff.
Absolutely.
You got it, but it's not.
Right.
And it just doesn't quite meet the standard.
And that's a tough conversation that I've had to have with families sometimes. You know, we had years ago, I'll always remember that, a case where someone made some pretty disturbing statements to law enforcement, but ultimately we knew they weren't going to be admissible. So what do you say to the family in that case where you have somebody who, you know, but for those statements, we didn't have a case. We have that information, but we can't get it into a courtroom. Now what do we do? And that's tough, but that's, you know, that's the nature of my job.
Well, and then if you push it and you get it in and then the judge throws it out or it's overturned,
right?
Does that better serve the family desire? Or is this just a better way for all concerned?
And ethically, I don't get to prosecute someone because it's going to make people feel better. I can only do it if I know I have admissible, legally admissible evidence to present in the courtroom that's going to show it beyond a reasonable doubt.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County DA Maggie Fleming. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Maggie, every once in a while, I would think it's tempting to kind of focus on in the department, fires in front of us, what are we dealing with? But it seems as if a lot of the ideas and enthusiasm and revigoration happens when you go out of the area.
Yes.
Whether it's to state, national, regional, those types of gatherings. Do you encourage you folks to do a lot of that stuff?
Yes. And we're really lucky in the last couple of years, in part due to Measure Z funding, we've been able to engage more statewide for the conferences, for the training. So first of all, to maintain our licenses as attorneys and also for the investigators to maintain their peace officer powers, we have to have ongoing education. And so for the district attorneys, we send them off to conferences that are taught in specific areas, and it's a statewide conference. So it's not just that they're learning the material, but the good news is they're meeting and exchanging emails with other prosecutors who are doing those types of crimes.
And so it's more than a workshop. It's really a conference.
It's a conference. There's a real significant educational component. I mean, people get up and give you, you know, legal updates, evidence code sections that are changing and being, you know, to be aware of. And then, but also, like I say, so for example, if you go to the sexual assault conference, you're learning about specifically medical examinations, you know, what's going on in that field. You're learning about DNA, what's going on in that field, and sort of experts are explaining to you how to present the evidence, what does it mean, what is its significance, and at the same time then, as I say, you're over lunch, you're talking to the person in Sonoma County who has the same caseload that you have, and you're able to share information, and we do a lot of exchange now statewide, you know, in part because of the ability to meet people, share information with the internet, and that's really helpful. This last week, we learned that our DA investigator, Kyla Baxley, is recognized statewide by the Sexual Assault Investigators Association as the investigator of the year for her outstanding work. She's been involved in a number of very major sexual assault cases that she put a tremendous amount of effort into. And what I think is really, you know, speaks so highly of her is her ability to work with people and maintain a relationship so that they're willing to come to court. And that's so critical, particularly when we get in the area of sex trafficking, human trafficking. You know, that was one of her cases. And that's those are very difficult cases. And you have to maintain that relationship, keep that contact, and really work hard at helping that person so that they're willing ultimately when it goes to trial to come forward and sit in the chair and talk about some really disturbing, you know, events that occurred.
It seems as if that's become either more prevalent or more out in the open. And I'm not sure. And if you would have said human trafficking, sex trafficking 25 years ago, you know, there probably would have been flashbacks to Second Street.
Right.
But not what you guys are dealing with today. How did that evolve into that arena, and why here?
I think part of it is the internet. You know, when you think of the way people can post ads, and so people can move fairly easily and operate for a short period of time and then move on. So it is not just a bigger issue. The fact of the matter is that there really is no area so remote that people can't be trafficked there, you know, in short periods of time and then moved on. And so that's sort of the difficulty.
So this is a stopping spot for...
Sure. You know, anytime you have a major highway, it's easy to... It's very similar in that sense to drug trafficking. It's very easy to move something in and out in short periods of time, and it's not hard to keep it secret. So we saw changes related to that, and I just think that a lot of it is sort of the internet and access that people have to these ads.
For folks that have, I'm presuming it's primarily young girls?
Yes.
Okay. Daughters?
Yeah.
What would you tell them? Because I would imagine there are folks from here that gets drafted, selected,
right.
kidnapped,
right.
whatever it is, whatever the verb is, into this.
Right.
Against their will. What makes them vulnerable? What makes them attracted to this, and what can moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas do to help dissuade them or eliminate the initial?
Right. I just went to another presentation a few weeks ago, and what's interesting is one of the presenters who's from here, who unfortunately was trafficked for a period of time when she was younger, she just made the presentation. They went through a series at St. Bernard's High School. I think that's the first high school to have had this program. And she talks a lot about, you know, sort of what we always think of, the awareness. What are the changes? Why are there sort of, whether it be suddenly cash or expensive presents or changes in your young person. But it's also being aware of the friendships, you know, having hopefully friends who are looking out for each other and saying, why is this happening? Because it's something that can happen, and it's similar in a lot of ways to what we see in other sex crimes. That is that there's a period of time where it's called grooming, you know, where the predator is setting this person up either by...
So they have a process.
They have a process. And initially it's flattery and interest and perhaps suggesting, you know, you and I have a special bond. You and I are a couple. We're true to each other. And when in fact that person's bringing this person along to set them up.
KINS, News and Information Times, 842. We'll be back with more from Maggie Fleming.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. Maggie, the concept of sexual abuse and having to specialize, which is what you're saying, you can specialized department dealing with that. If money was, probably shouldn't say this with Z and some of the other money floating around, but if money was not an issue, are there other areas you'd like to be able to emphasize on?
Yes.
In?
Yeah. So sort of looking at what Kyla Baxley is able to do as our investigator, one of the two investigators assigned to the sexual assault unit, that specialty, that time to really investigate patrol and law enforcement, you know, they submit these cases, and sometimes then there are a million other things that need to be done as we proceed. And the investigators in the DA's office, you know, are tasked with trying to do that. And so, you know, and that's why I think Kyla is being recognized statewide for that diligence, that I've got to nail down all these other details in order to make this case provable. Looking down the road, what I'd really like to do, and I met with a group this week of other county agencies who are involved, is finding a way to do that same sort of intensive investigation and follow through for elder and vulnerable adults. We have a significant problem in our community with elders and vulnerable adults. And specifically, we're seeing it frequently similar to other areas like this, where it's someone who they believe cares about them or someone they believe loves them. And so even when they start to realize the situation's gone bad and perhaps it's abusive, they don't necessarily want to prosecute. They you know, maybe it's their grandson who's moved into their home, you know, under the idea that he's going to help out with chores so that they can stay in their house, when in fact he has substance abuse or perhaps gambling issues or whatever it is. And grandma figures out, I'm losing a lot of money. And, you know, and sometimes that can then, you know, if she starts to say something about it, it can even lead to emotional or physical abuse. But finding a way to put together that group of people in the county, adult protective services, the public guardian, mental health, and then my office, to really sort of go at these cases and do the kind of investigations we need to do to protect the elders and the vulnerable adults.
Yuck. I guess just yuck. But if there is money, it sounds like there may be some money. That'd be way cool if you could do it towards that area as well.
Right.
Stiff upper lip. Go forth, huh?
Yes, you too. All righty. Thank you.
Thanks, Maggie. See everybody tomorrow.